Here we go. Haggai. Haggai. Chapter 1. Now, we've been over Haggai, and I was going to kind of skip it, because it's about rebuilding the temple. And it goes back before Nehemiah. And I'm hoping, kids, if nothing else, these names, like Nehemiah, I can't remember, Michael, all these people, that you'll at least have an idea that these guys have a huge part in the history of God's people. And I don't expect you to remember them, because, I don't. But I do know Nehemiah. Nehemiah had the wall. I do know Jeremiah. Don't tell everybody that they're going against the words of God. So, going back to Nehemiah, and we have a messed up, they destroyed. It's just a messed up thing. Haggai is actually called, look at verse 13, chapter 1. He's actually called the Lord's messenger. Remember back in the Old Testament days, one of the ways God would talk to these people was through a guy. And he's listed here, then spake Haggai, the Lord's messenger, and the Lord's message unto the people. God wanted to tell the people something, he would tell Haggai, and Haggai would go tell him. And I should have thought of this, looked it up later, but if those guys say anything wrong at all, they're done. They're not a prophet of God. One mistake, they're out of business. They got to go work at Sykes or something. So, this Bible has to be the same way. One mistake, and this isn't God's Bible. Same concept. So we know that this Bible has no mistakes, nothing said that isn't supposed to be said the way it's said. So, and notice he says, in the Lord's message unto the people, saying, I am with you, saith the Lord. Now that's my huge verse for today. I'll show you that in a couple minutes here. But, if we were to go back, and look at chapter 2, verse 3, real quick, like here, Haggai chapter 2, verse 3. We see that it says there, who was left among you that saw this house in her first glory? And how do you see it now? Is it not in your eyes in comparison of it as nothing? It's like possibly Haggai was there for the first one. And then it got all destroyed. And it's time to build it again. This is what we're after. Now this is, again, this is before Nehemiah. We're going back where we've progressed. Maybe when this thing is all done, we should try to go through the Old Testament chronologically. But boy, that'd be a challenge. But that'd be kind of fun, too. We could just picture the whole thing. Boy, that'd be hard. So, God's people have been conquered. Jerusalem had been burned. It's destroyed. Their temple is demolished. It's just not there. And they've been off to captivity. They've been unhappy for a number of years. And you can find this in 2 Kings 20 for everything working right up there. Okay. And they're going back to town. This king Darius has led everybody, okay, let's go back, all of God's people, let's go back, and I'll even let you rebuild your temple. I'll even let you do that. And Haggai and Zechariah are the preachers during this thing. City hasn't got a wall yet. It's been fixed a little bit, but there's no walls there. But they have to build this temple. Like to us, it's the church as such. And that's the reason we think that way at all. So, but here's how we're going to look at Haggai today. We know that the temple had to be rebuilt. And he talks about it here in sort of kind of detail. You can go back and find some more details, and we'll get some more of that stuff out of Zechariah. But let's read through Haggai today, and let's look at it as a pattern. Now, Paul is our pattern. Jesus Christ is the pattern for Paul and the risen Christ, and he tells Paul what to pass on to us. So really, Paul is our pattern to how to follow the risen Christ. But if we look at Haggai, you might be surprised that this is how we can rebuild. So this is more one of those biblical counseling, biblically defined biblically counseling, not the way the world defines biblical counseling. But we can see some things here for us as far as rebuilding. Now, keep in mind that verse in verse 13 says, I am with you, saith the Lord. I am with you. So God is there in this temple. God will be there. And there's different times and different ways that God was with these people, with them. And one place they always look for historical teachings about the Old Testament stuff is this Haley's Handbook of Haley's Handbook, forget what it's called there. And once again, the historical aspect of something is very fine. I mean, history is history. But their application and their application of it today is quite often very wrong, and it shows us what's going on in modern Christianity. For example, that Haley's Handbook says that that Haggai is compared to our temple today, which is the church. This is where God's at, is the church. Now, if he was meaning the body of Christ all over the world, that's fine, because we're in the body of Christ and he's in us, etc., etc. But that's not what they're referring to. They're referring to the church. Our church, their church, everybody's churches. And once again, I see the fact that the church is where everybody puts Christianity today. Now, there's a biblical purpose for church. If it wasn't, we wouldn't be here. And if ever we have to sell this place, or we all get to small, whatever, that can happen. That's part of the apostasy thing. But until that really has to be, this is where we'll meet. If we can't meet here someday, we'll meet someplace else. It'll still be the church. But this is not where God's at. And we know that from Acts chapter 17. Let's look at Acts chapter 17. We're gonna look at this thing. We're gonna realize something that is fantastic. And if we don't get past that, we can do chapter 1 next week. I'll be pretty busy during the week, end of the week, and wouldn't bother me not to have to prepare a whole lot of stuff. And so we'll see how far we get here today. Acts chapter 17, which we know, but maybe not everybody does out there yet. Acts chapter 17. Now, could you have found this verse on your own if you're talking to somebody about worship and things? Come worship with us, if that conversation ever comes up in verse 24. The unknown God. God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is the Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands. Now, one time he did. See, they built this place and he would be there. The glory of the Lord filled the temple. I think that's all that goes in one place. Trumpets blew and the Lord, and all that takes place. But see, that's Old Testament. I realize more and more by reading the Old Testament, like we're doing, how much of the Old Testament is in today's Christianity. I'm even surprised how much we get out of that thing. Okay, so now, let me show you something really, really spectacular here. Let's look at, I probably got these backwards in my notes. Let's look at Revelation 21 and verse 3. Now, we're talking about heaven this morning, next service here, and we're going to see what it's going to be like. And one of the things he says in Revelation 21, verse 3, and it says, and I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. That's where God is at. And he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. And God himself shall be with them and be their God. Look at Revelation 7. Do you see anything in there that strikes an interesting thought? It's a four-letter word in Revelation 7, verse 15. Therefore are they before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple, and he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. So we see that in these future times and in the past times, the Old Testament, where was God? He was with his people. And that's a marvelous thing. Is that not, wouldn't that be a fun thing to have God with us? Well, you know, we've got it now better than they're going to have it in heaven. And so in a unique way. Because where is God today? He's in us. And I have not forgotten that since I compared. Do I have it in here? I must have it in here. Look at 2 Corinthians 6. Now, we're looking forward to a time. This might be all we get done here today, as I think about it here as I'm talking here. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. We want everything on our outside to go right. That's how we are. We are righteous enough. We have been brought up enough Christianity-wise. We want things to go well for our children. We want the area around us to be right. And if it's not right around us, we'll yank them out of the school. We'll yank them out of the job. Some people will quit their jobs because it's not right around them. They'll change neighborhoods because it's just not right around them. I'm still dreading the day somebody builds something across the street. In this corner, I just don't want this place to take off. But I can't worry about it. I know it's going to. The music is outside. I mean, how much of this world stinks on the outside right now. It stinketh more than when we were young, and I'll bet you it stinketh a whole lot more than when you were young. And you haven't committed suicide, so you're dealing with it fairly well, that I can tell. That's what a home and a house is for. So, and we want to do things right as a Christian, right? And we do. But we're not going to fix it. And someday, on the outside around us, it's going to be fixed. He's going to burn the thing up, and he's going to make everything right on the outside. And yet, you know, we're going to find out next week, even that isn't necessarily 100% the true statement, because there is some junk still going on in the future years. So what do we have today? We have the insides, us, already done. It's like we're one step ahead of everybody. Yeah, I guess I can't say that, because if you're a Christian, you are. If you're not, you're not. You know, but these people that say they're Christians and they're trying to walk the walk and they do the right thing in the area around them, but they don't have it fixed on the inside, they're messed up. They can't please God, and they won't be with God. But see, we have in us today. Look at Romans chapter 2 Corinthians 6:16. Sorry. And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. I read that thing in Revelation, and it says he says right there, he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them. Wow. He can be in us today. And he won't, even in that future eternal time with him, he won't be in, he'll be with. So yes, we're thrilled that we can have him around us and he'll be with us someday. We won't have to paint the tables and fix the tables and mow the lawns, all this kind of stuff we'll talk about. But see, today we have him in us. Never been in us before, will not be in us later. This is a spectacular time of history. This is Paul's dispensation of grace. In order for him to have that grace, he had to cut us away from our flesh because we're still here. And he had to clean us up on the inside, clean up that soul, give us his spirit, and he couldn't do that without cutting us away from the flesh. And now he is not with us. He's dwelling not with us. He's dwelling in us. Wow. I haven't forgotten that. I forgot to tell that. That was the thing. Just those two verses where in Revelation, yes, he will dwell with the people. And I'm sure people look at that and they go, wow, look at that. Someday we're going to be dwelling with God. Excuse me, but do you know that right now God is in us in this dispensation? No, what do you mean by that? There you are. Another friend. Lost. They just don't see that. Let me show you some verses. Look at Romans chapter 8. And we whine and we complain and we are frustrated because of things around us. And we're never going to make it right. We're supposed to try. There's pleasingness to God there. We'll talk about that eventually here. But inside, us, me only, I am already, and this, I guess this is how you would say we're already with him. Remember that verse that says, I forgot how it goes, a conversation is in heaven. How can that be? Because I'm still here. I've seen how it can be. Because we know it's because he's in us, and he's there, and so our conversation, we're already there. We just got to take care of this physical thing. When we get this thing physical taken care of, he will be with those people. Now remember, we're still in a different status in the future eternal times. Okay, we'll get to that in a minute here. Romans chapter 8, verse 9. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. I mean, if we don't have the Spirit of God in us, we are not a Christian. Call yourself what you want. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead. So now, if Christ were to leave us, what would happen? We'd drop dead. Does that make sense? That's something to tell somebody. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin. Our body still has sin. There's that flesh, that sin is still right there. But the Spirit is life because of righteousness. Now we're alive because of the Spirit of God. This is really cool. This is neat. I hate the word cool. Mark that. This is really exciting stuff here. What is it, Catherine? That's what it is. If Christ being in the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Okay, so we have Christ in us. We had to die to have that take place. God himself, through Christ and the Spirit of God, dwelleth in us. Now our body is dead because of sin, but if it wasn't for Christ, now we would just drop. Now what happens when Christ leaves? Spirit of God leaves. What's going to happen? Our body's going to, right? Because it's dead. Right? Well, isn't there an event that's going to happen when that takes place? He's going to take us, our spirit, our soul, out of here. Well, of course our flesh is going to drop. Why? Because it's dead. So we're already dead. It's the Spirit of God that's keeping us alive now. Well, wait, my flesh isn't quite dead. Well, I know. It's dead, but we keep knocking on its door. Hey, let's do that. That's that serving unrighteousness, what Paul says. We choose to serve sin now. We choose to take what we are alive and go back and follow that which is unrighteous. And what is that going to do to the Spirit of God that's in here? It's going to quench and grieve it. And we spend, and rightly so, to a point, concerned about the area around us. Well, of course we're concerned about that. There's still testimony there. There's still lost people there. Our kids are going to look at the food and the toys and all the stuff that's out there, and that can trick them into the god of this world. So we know that. So we want to clean up as much as we can around us, because anything that we do that the world does brings your kid closer to the world. And I'll say it right now. I still cannot believe the things that we do for our children that are so stinking worldly. I know in a couple of years you're going to say, "What happened?" Don't ask me, because I'll tell you what happened. You don't have to ask me because you'll know. This is the most important time for those, for your children you have right now, is right now. We're already past the most important part. They've already got some concrete settling in. Have you noticed? Okay, look at 1 Corinthians 3:9. 1 Corinthians 3:9. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. There's the building. Ye. Losing a little shingles, are we? Need a little repair work? And that's what we can get out of Haggai. How can we fix up this body, our life, to please God? And I'll show you how this fits. We got time. It's 9:50. We got a few minutes here. Ephesians 2 says, "In whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, the body of Christ as well, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit." This is where God habitates. Is that right? Habitates? Yeah. This is where he's at. And in the future, he will be with them. In the past, he will be with them. And as marvelous as that is, and it is, because it cleans up around us, today he is in us. And this is where the action's at. Out here is just to please God and protect our kids and be a testimony for God. Now, we know that in Corinthians, Paul talks about laying the correct foundation. He's laid the right, it says here, look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3. We're not even going to get through with chapter 1 of Haggai today. This is going to be a marvelous couple of weeks here. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, he says down in verse 10 that Paul has laid the foundation. Now, isn't that amazing? Jesus Christ is the foundation. But if we talked about this before, but if that foundation wasn't laid by Paul, I believe that people don't have the right foundation. I think that they would have, I would believe that they would have another Jesus. I believe that you've got to get the risen Christ. What you know about the risen Christ, you've got to get from Paul. Because that's the foundation that Paul laid. If you get the foundation that Peter laid, then you've got yourself a Catholic church. That's what you got. See what I'm saying? It might be awful finite, a fine-tuned line I'm talking about there. But Paul does say, I have laid the foundation. But then he says, he's the wise master builder. So we hear about this risen Christ, and this is the person, this is the one that we put our trust and faith in, and now we also follow Paul to build upon that foundation. And that's just not happening. You wonder, maybe some people have a foundation that's not quite right, is why they have such a hard time with building on it. And we get so upset to think that, are you saying then, you think maybe I might even have the wrong foundation? I don't know. Paul says, yeah, it's not my call about your heart. But maybe some of the struggles we have is because we're trying to build on another Jesus. And it doesn't click. Well, of course it doesn't click. The Jesus in the Gospels isn't the one that told us the Jesus in the Gospel, that isn't what we're supposed to build on. To build with is what he teaches in the Gospels. So, I think Paul is very instrumental. Writing the divided Bible is very instrumental for our foundation. And then it just seems to me that if you got yourself a good foundation, the building with Paul just wouldn't be all that hard. That's hard to understand. It's hard and it's difficult. I know all that. But I just wonder about that sort of a thing. Is that part of the difficulties that some folks have? I don't know. It makes me think about it. 1 Corinthians 15, we know that Paul says this about Christ, about the foundation. So there's probably nobody in here that I'm going to be concerned about, I guess. I don't know. Because we know this is the Christ that he teaches, the one is the one from the Gospels. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand. Hey, have we received this foundational gospel from Paul, or have we received it from Peter or John or somebody else? By which also ye are saved. What's that? That's the gospel we have received from Paul. If ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. See, now why do you have to say in memory? They didn't have a Bible. How important the memory was in those days? Boy, am I glad I didn't live in those days. Whew. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. Well, we know that. And that he was buried, okay? And that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, okay? And they believe that out there. And he that was seen of Cephas, then of the 12 and his 500 brethren, and even himself, in verse 8, and last of all, he was seen of me. So, this is very important. This is what the Great Commission crowd says is Paul's gospel. And that's all they say. Well, yeah, Paul just teaches the same thing about the gospels. Well, yes, except he also mentions the fact that he was risen the third day. And then Paul is all about what the risen Christ has taught to people. That's where they drop it, right there. Which is very interesting, very amazing that they would do that. Okay, so that's a part on that thing, because I don't want to get you all sweating and thinking about that, or mad at me, thinking that you're saying I'm not saved. Haven't you ever opened up that Bible now that you've learned what you've learned in the last 10 years or 5 years and dug, make sure you got that thing down? Have you? I guess we could go through that little spiel I do sometimes, but let's go to Haggai. Let's get into this thing with Haggai. We've got a few minutes. We can at least get started. Haggai again. There's a long introduction about Haggai. Well, it's about the temple. We are the temple of God. And this is about rebuilding the temple back in the Old Testament days. And whether or not we think that we could get something out of Haggai, you read this thing and you will see some pretty, pretty interesting things. Here we go. Chapter 1. We'll just do a few verses and we'll finish up next week or maybe next month. Who knows? In the second year of Darius the king, see, he was the guy that led him. In the sixth month, in the first day of the month, came the word of the Lord by Haggai, the prophet, unto Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Jozadak, the high priest, saying. Okay, so what does he say? Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, this people say, the time is not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. I had to stop there. Do you know what we say to ourselves today? We get the right kind of foundation. We learn this stuff about Paul being the wise master builder. We start to read some stuff about Ephesians and Philippians. There's just marvelous stuff to read about. And then we get into this suicide series about Timothy and Titus, and then we find out that this is where we need. These are the things that we need to do to start rebuilding this temple. And what do we usually say? Just what they say right here. The time has not come. I'm not ready yet. Have you not said that? I'm not ready to turn that off yet. I'm not ready to stop going there. I don't care. It's really hot. I'm not ready to be totally modest 12 months out of the year. I'm not ready to stop eating this. I'm not ready to do this. You see what I'm saying here? This whole chapter just goes after us because these people are not ready. And remember, the temple's here. What do we have to fix up if God is in us? Well, read Paul. It gets better. Remember Pharaoh? Moses, take these stinking, stingy frogs away from here. They're horrible. Tomorrow. I'm not ready yet. How could you not be ready for a gazillion, billion, bagillion dead, smelly frog? You ever smelled a dead frog? And just imagine piles in your backyard, like when your dad does the road graders and you got dirt piles in your backyard. Anybody got dirt? Kids got dirt piles in your yard anywhere? Imagine those as dead frogs. Go down when you drive through. Next time you go through Loudoun and you see that cliff right outside the town there, like the guy just dropped a pile of dirt right there in Loudoun. Got all the birds in there. Remember that place? Imagine those as frogs. And then buy the house across the street. Oh, I'd love to live there. Whew. You would call it the county. Oh, we call it Bill. Bill, get your God, get this stuff out of this stuff. Horrible. I can't even breathe. You might even start hopping yourself because there's so many frogs everywhere. You feel kind of part of the crowd or something. And then you know what you're going to say to the guy on the phone? Say, can you get these frogs out of here? Yeah, we'll do it right away. No, can you wait till tomorrow? I mean, that's an amazing thing there with Pharaoh. Well, here are these people. They've been in captivity. The town has been destroyed. And their president, you know, has said, go ahead, go back to your place and rebuild your temple. Have at it. Okay. No, not yet. They started it. And the enemy of the world out there gave them some hassle. And we won't take the time to look that up. Some kings gave them a hassle. And so they quit. They gave up. They were hassled. Oh, we'd like to rebuild the temple, but oh, it's so painful. People don't like us anymore, and they're teasing us. They're laughing at us. Can we just keep the frogs? Everybody likes the frogs here. And these folks don't want to get any better. Okay, get off that. Okay, it does get better here. Look at verse 3. Then came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet, saying. Isn't that interesting? There it is, kids. Please get this. Then came the word of the Lord by Haggai. Now, what do we say today? Then came the word of the Lord by pastor. No. Then came the word of the Lord in this Bible right here. You just happen to have a pastor that's trying to show you what it says because you're probably too busy and too lazy to read it. So that's what you pay me the big bucks and come and tell you what you're supposed to get on your own. And that's okay because God says they need help. I said, I know, I need help. And that's why we gave us a Bible. This is where the word of the Lord says today. And if you get mad, your parents leave here and you go someplace else, you're going to find pastors that say, God told me to tell you. No, God has it in the book to tell you. And there's pastors all over this world, kids, that they say that God told them. And they don't use the Bible except once in a while. Because see, they got a better Bible, and they got the Greek, and da 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 da. I hope you get that. Boy, I think you just get that as you grow up. You ever think of what the world's going to be like when our kids grow up? Oh, man, this is scary. Okay. Then came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet, saying, verse 4, is it time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses, and this house lie waste, meaning God's temple? Now here's where you're going to have to get this now. Here's what he's saying. So is this the time that you're going to go fix up your little home instead of the temple of God? Because they're saying, we don't want to do it now. So what are they, apparently, what are they doing? They're fixing up their home. They're sealed houses. By the way, that is spelled the way the Bible wants it to be spelled. Explain that to your kids. I before E, except after C, and except in the Bible. Well, 1611 came around before our grammar things kind of got ruled out, and they leave it as sealed. Okay, anyway. Did you see that? Now, are you knocking the fact that you're building your homes, remodeling this, and putting this kind of stuff in, and our church needs shingles? So the pastor comes up here, and he puts this big guilt trip on you. He goes down to Haggai and says, listen, what is this? You folks are, I'm just playing here. Don't think I'm mad at you here. You folks are fixing up your houses, and you got all this stuff, all this money going into your homes. Oh, look at this place. This is horrible. We got a couple of shingles off here and then the lawn. We should have a much better lawn, Jimmy. We should have a sprinkler system we've talked about it for years. It's all hot air. And you got one in your house, but you don't have one here at God's house. What is the matter with you folks? And he says right there, is it time for you to have a better home than it is to fix up this house? But see, that's a physical, that's the way it was then. Where is the temple today? Temple's in here. So what are we talking about? We're not talking about your home and your house compared to the church building. Common sense says if this place falls apart, it's a bad testimony, and we won't have a place to meet. That's just common sense. If we get water start coming through the ceiling, I'll bet you one of these days we'd fix the roof. Wouldn't you think? I mean, that's how this thing works. But we have to remember that if we're the temple of God, we've got two houses we can work on. His, which is his, which is what's right. It's the righteousness. It's the truth. It's the right testimony, et cetera, et cetera. Or ours. What is ours? The old man. The flesh. Are you getting this? We are spending more time and more effort and more money on our flesh and more time and more energy and more heart and more concern for our flesh stuff, which is our house, compared to the part that God's in, the soul, and that's doing the things that Paul would have us do to please God. If we change our lives and we turn into something different, now we're pleasing God. We're working on the temple of God now. But if we go and buy all this junk and do all this kind of junk because it feels good and it's a fleshy thing and we watch this and do this, we don't make those changes in our life that Paul talks about, what are we doing? We're fixing our sealed house. We're fixing our house, our flesh. You see the difference there? Am I just pushing this thing too far? Like, boy, you're just pushing this one. I don't think so at all. Is it time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses? Are you still going to feed your flesh and let God's house, what he wants us to be, fly and waste? Fly waste. But Haggai is a marvelous book. It's an Old Testament book. It's not written to us, but it's there for us. And this is where we can get rebuked and corrected, and we can be told the right thing, instruction and righteousness, even out of Haggai. We just have to be able to write and divide the fact that he's not talking about the building the temple of God today. We are the temple of God today. We are the ones that need to be rebuilt. If we rebuild our flesh, in fact, did I write that down in here? If I didn't, I should have. You know what? I think it's Galatians 3. It is. It's Galatians 3. And look at all the folks that are gone today to get blasted. Right? They're working, and they all got real reasons and stuff. But that's okay. We got the Bible at home. We can read it at home in our private little time. But that's why we have church and preaching, because we don't do that. Look at verse, when I say Galatians, I think it's Galatians chapter 3. There it is. O foolish Galatians, verse 1, who hath bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you? We have the Christ. We have him. He is dwelling in us. This only would I learn of you. Receive ye the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Well, the answer is hearing of faith. Are ye so foolish, having begun in the Spirit? Are ye now made perfect by the flesh? That's trying to fix our house up and forget what Paul says. What do we mean, forget what Paul says? Because Paul is the master builder. Whatever Paul says that we should change in our lives, we should change in our lives. Because that is his ministry in Acts chapter 27, where he says, turn us from darkness to light. Turn us from the power of Satan to the power to God. Power of Satan to God. Do works meet for repentance. Meaning we've already made the repentant change. Now let's live like we should. That's not fixing up the flesh, because we're still in the flesh. We're still here. We have to do these things. Yes, you should still dress clean and dress nice. That's part of our testimony. That's part of the temple of God. And just for an example of that kind of a thing. So whatever it is that Paul says that we need to learn in our lives, that's what we should be working on. And we say, just like the people said back in Haggai, time is not now. This isn't time. I'm not going to do this now. I'm sorry, Pastor. I appreciate it. But maybe tomorrow. I know I smell. I know my testimony stinks. I know nobody's going to listen to me because my testimony is so bad. others have to preach at them harder. No, your testimony is killing people from believing you, some people. And it's time to fix it. And your answer is just like theirs, not now. And we ought to be there. Don't we have some things that we know we should be working on, and we just say, well, haven't you even said sometimes to yourself, yeah, I got to do this, but I'll do this tomorrow. I'll do it tomorrow. How many tomorrows do we have? Well, some people don't have many tomorrows left. Maybe we don't have much of a tomorrow left. So, this is just God showing us some things here this morning. What does he say in Timothy? Lovers of what? More than lovers of God. Pleasures. Not pleasure, but lovers of pleasure, specific things. We have more fun outside this place, outside this Bible, outside our church family fellowship here, outside us, outside of God's desire for what Paul preaches to us. We have more fun out there doing that stuff. That means you're a lover of pleasures more than a lover of God. I mean, that's what it means. Admit it. Yes, you're right. I do love pleasures more than God. That's just the way it is. We're Americans. We've been taught that. That's just the way it is. And if you can admit that, maybe it'd be time to get up there and fix the temple. So what does he say in verse 5? Back to Haggai. We got the people that say, not now. And God says, yes now. Or you're going to go home and live in your living. You're happy in your old fleshly ways, in your old man's nature or whatever. Then he says in verse 5, now therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Now consider this. And kids, you do the same thing. Because you may not think this is true, but this is life right here. Older kids, older young kids, you may think that you're going to sow much, and you're going to eat, and you're going to drink, and you're going to get the clothes, and you're going to earn the wages. This is your time. Yay, they're so happy. Isn't that right, Jimmy? I mean, they're so happy. They finally got out of the home. They're out there. I'm grumpy this morning, aren't I? they're finally away. I'm going to do it better than my mom and dad did. You know what you're going to find out? You're going to find out the same thing your mom and dad find out, because your kids found that out. Now, your kids are going to find this out, which you've known for years. That is, you have sown much and bring in little. Lewis, how many years have you been working out there?
58, almost 59
years. Same place. Listen, I'm struggling. We've been here 11. We've just always moved every 3 years. This is the longest place you've ever stayed. And I shouldn't say struggling, but it's like I change my office all the time. I put this back there if I could, just to change this stuff. So much and bring in little. Oh, you eat. Do we eat? Do we eat? But what does it say? But you have not enough. You know what I wanted last night at 1 o'clock? One of the bowl of cereal with this neat raw milk that is just so fantastically tastes so good. What a dumb thing. I ate during the day, but I just didn't have enough. I'm only eating one hamburger now. Is that not a miracle? No, it's called age. I haven't got room for that second hamburger. But what do I want later? I'm absolutely yogurt. Oh, it's just ridiculous. You drink, but you're not filled with drink. Guzzled down the ice water, the pink lemonade, about a half hour later, see more pink lemonade back? It's gone, what? You didn't make enough? What is that? He clothes you, but there's none worn? I don't know, today they unclothe more than their clothing. And I guess they're not happy. I still got something on, I gotta get rid of that. This is terrible days we're living in. This is the big one. He that earneth wages to put it into a bag with holes. I'm going to give you kids a bunch of quarters, but I'm going to provide the bag. I will. I'll give you kids quarters. I'll give you more quarters, you know what to do with. But you have to use my bag. I'll give you the quarters in my office. Here you go. Wow. Get home. Where's all my quarters? What, 7 or 8 quarters? Why, that thief. That's called life. And I still hate it. I'm not even paying the Social Security stuff. I'm not even paying the FICA and the BARS and all that stuff. But I remember when David got in one of his first big paychecks coming out of this thing, he was just thrilled. He said, Dad, look at all the stuff that they took. So anyway, so So thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Just look at it. It's just not working. Look at that sealed house. Look at your house. Listen, folks, you should be done by now with your home. You've been working on your home for years. You're not done yet. What's the matter? You got a roof, walls, and the floor, and electricity. What else do you want? Well, we just keep doing more, and I'm not knocking that part of it, but you're still not done. Are you ever going to be done? Louis! I think we're done. Has that ever? You ever say that? Are you kidding? By the time you're done, Olivia's going to, you know what Olivia's going to say? Daddy, can I change my color of my room? That's just what's going to happen. Danica's going to say, Mom, we're done? We're done? Really? But we don't have a jungle gym out back or a water slide with, you know, all this squirrely, whirly, whirly is coming down. And where's our target range? Zach will say. Don't we have target range, Dad? We're never done. And yet, what do we got going on in here? This is where it counts. These bodies that we have, are we done with them? We still buy stuff for these things. I mean, 90 years old, you still put on some of that stuff. I mean, we just do it. We still kind of pamper this body. Yet. Do a little hand lotion stuff, a little bag ball. I got the old bag ball. You know the bag ball, man. Good old bag ball on those elbows, you know, on your feet. And as you get older, you put them on more places, your arms, your neck, your ears. Pretty soon you're taking a bath in a jello full of bag ball. But you're still doing it. You know? You just can't. And you get, oh, just don't go there. You get this ARP, the ARP magazine, AARP thing? I mean, they got more things in there to make you go back to when you were 30 than I can imagine, you know? Anti-wrinkle cream, put your hair back in your head. I remember in the first, oh, time here, mark this thing, we're done. Don't turn it off yet, but I remember when the first hair thing about 10 years ago came out for guys that were bald and said, here's how you fix your hair thing. You know what? Remember what it was? It was a black paint. Remember that? It really was a... They paid millions of dollars for commercials for this thing. And then it looks like they got hair. Now they can sort of kind of grow it back. And these people can take little hairs and like a little punch needle thing. We just don't quit. It's just amazing. And then your head is swollen from all these needle punctures, you know, and then you get ingrown infection, but you got your hair back. Oh, man, I tell you, our flesh just is worthless. But we still fix it up. And we need to, as part of our testimony. Not the hair puncture thing. I mean, if you're a Christian, you would puncture your head up there and get hair back up there. That's just baloney. There's probably somebody else who thinks that, though. So anyway, one more verse, verse 8. Says to consider your ways in verse 7. Then he says in verse 8, go up to the mountain and bring wood and build the house. This is the temple now. And I will take pleasure in it and I will be glorified, saith the Lord. And we'll stop right there. That's exactly why we're supposed to do what we're supposed to do with our temple, where God's at, our body, not the flesh, but the body that Christ is in. And we are to do that to give him pleasure and he will be glorified. Isn't that right? And then Paul says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 1, I think it is, he says, listen, we've taught you folks how to please God. This is where you go to rebuild this place, and that's the Paul. That was amazing stuff. But our lesson this morning is, not now, maybe tomorrow. You ought to do it today. Amen. Didn't even make it to verse 9. Silly me to think that we're going to get through the whole chapter. Now, when you go home today, read Haggai chapter 1, Haggai chapter 1, and God will show you what I'm yakking about here in your reading. It's really a neat book on Haggai. Okay, we'll take a break.